I want to say it's an honor and privilege to be with you all tonight once again, and to be able to stand and be a mouthpiece for the Lord. And we've had a very blessed week this week, and a lot of wonderful, wonderful lessons and fellowship that we have been able to partake in has been uplifting for me, and I know it has for my wife. And it's a little refuge to come back to Bowling Green. You know, in Virginia, not too far from where I live, is a Bowling Green, Virginia. And it's a little speck there on the map compared to as big as this Bowling Green is. And some people at work, you know, say, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm going to Bowling Green, Kentucky. And they kind of give me funny looks. I said, what are you going there for? But it's good to be able to tell them why I'm headed here. And they just have no idea about how the Lord uses this week for many of us that need a good reviving. And I'm just thankful for that, and Old Union for hosting. And it's a blessing. Now, I have to tell myself a little bit. I was very excited about being able to go to a sunrise service this morning at Old Union. And so I set my clock, my alarm clock on my watch, and ready and anxious to make sure I get up. And after a long, exhausting week of staying up late with David and Megan and talking and fellowshipping, it's you know, awful tiring, but I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm excited. And so my alarm goes off in the morning. I get dressed, and no one else is ready or even up. And so it's like, okay, it's starting to come a time where I need to head out. So I'm like, well, I just went ahead and got my van and headed to Old Union. And I got to about Brother Reynolds' house, if y'all know where that's at. And then something came over me like, oh, no. You see, when I got here to Bowling Green, I remember looking at my watch and thinking, well, should I change my time back to local time or not? And I was like, no, that's okay. I'll just go through the week just knowing that I'm an hour ahead on my watch. And that was a bad idea. So I got to Old Union and turned around and headed back and just waited a little bit longer. But we're thankful that we're able to go to the service. It was a nice, blessed service this morning there. And we're just thankful for what a wonderful time that we're having here, and especially with the Lord. And I was thinking this morning in service here about how wonderful it is to be able to meet together and to serve God, and how none of this would be possible if it wasn't for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that just kind of hit me hard. And you know these kind of things, but you know it's the simple things that hit you sometimes that really have an impact on you. And this morning was one of those things when I was sitting here in service listening to Brother Miller preaching and thinking how blessed that I am and that we are to be able to serve God, to have a meeting house and places we could worship Him. And if we didn't have any peace in our souls, if we didn't have a true conversion to let us know He's real, none of this would be worth anything. And so I'm thankful today to be a child of the King and to be able to feel the love of God, be with my brothers and my sisters who encourage me so much. I was sitting here just a second ago and counting, and the people that are in this room, there's about 12 or so of you that's been out to Virginia, whether in a, when they, we were a mission or for the organization or what have you. And that just touched me as well. And thankful for those who love the Lord and just show so much support for His work. Thank you all for that. As I was, Brother Miller asked me this morning if I'd be around this evening, and told him I was, so he said, well, I'll have you preach tonight if you would. So I said, okay. And so going through service this morning, and there was a song that was sung by Sister Collins and other young lady that I don't know her name, but that was a blessing to me this morning. And part of that song got me, I guess, thinking, and the Lord kind of pressed me to look up a few things. And so I want to, if you want to turn with me, I want to read the 5th chapter of Revelation to start here, if you'd like to turn and follow along. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now the thought that came upon my heart was part of what the sister sung that was in that song, and that is, Worthy is the Lamb. And that struck me this morning as we have been worshiping the Lord all week, and with the Easter celebrations that we partook of his resurrection. And that struck me a little bit for tonight. And so I'd like to, if we can, go back to the beginning and see a little bit and talk a little bit about some sacrifices, and more specifically, the lamb that was sacrificed for us. And as some background, you know, the Old Testament is full of background. It's full of history. It's full of absolute truth. And without knowing your Old Testament, it's hard to understand the new. And so a richer understanding of things in the Old helps us and clarifies some things in the New Testament. We just want to look at a few things here, Lord willing. And we see from the beginning about one of the first sacrifices that was made. We know that God created all things, and he made Adam, and from his rib came Eve, and they were given one law, and the Lord provided all things for them, and he said, every tree of the garden thou mayst freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. And the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know that to be true. And we also see that at this point in time, they were naked. It's how God made them. They were not ashamed of themselves. And that serpent we know came along. And just as a good liar does, he was keen, and he beguiled the woman, told her that that fruit is good, and it, she looked upon that fruit. We know it was pleasant to her eyes. It was a tree to be desired. So she took that fruit, and she gave to her husband, and they both did eat. And we know that this was the introduction of sin into the world through Adam, as Brother Dallas mentioned. And we know that through this, right after, we see that Adam and Eve, that their eyes were opened, and that they knew, the first thing is this, their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. They knew something was wrong. Something went awry. So what did they do? Is they tried to fix it themselves, and they sewed fig leaves on and to cover their nakedness. And they heard the voice of the Lord coming and walking in that garden. And, of course, they hid themselves. Not only did they hid themselves with those fig leaves, they hid themselves even full body-wise from the Lord. And they should have known that walking with God in perfection, that he knew where they were. But he was trying to do everything he could, wasn't he, to hide the shame, what has happened. And he confessed that he was naked and he hid himself, which is good to be honest with God, isn't it? And spoke a few things to the conversation there, and the punishment was given. And we see one of the first prophecies of Jesus here coming in the 15th verse in the third chapter of Genesis. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And we see the punishments dished out to the woman and also to the man. And you know, as God being merciful and seeing a beautiful picture here, right from the beginning, we see that God did not leave them in that way before he kicked them out of the garden. Scripture tells us in the 21st verse that unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Death took place in the physical form here. God provided a sacrifice and covered them. Their own covering wasn't good enough. It would never be good enough for the Lord. And he didn't leave them with that. In fact, he provided a sacrifice. There are speculations that some say and speculate that it was more than likely a lamb. And I love that. But scripture is unclear here. I'm good with it being coats of skins. Something had to die. And so we know that this being the first, if you will, sacrifice, that God covered Adam and Eve. And we see the beautiful picture of salvation in that, don't we? And not too far after, we know that Adam and Eve had a couple boys, Cain and Abel. And we know that Abel was a keeper of the sheep. He was a shepherd. And when it came in the process of time, there in the fourth chapter, that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And it says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And we know those two sacrifices that they gave unto the Lord, that God accepted Abel's offering. And it was a sheep. It was a lamb. And so Cain's was not accepted. And the result there soon after came because Cain was so wrathful. And in, of course, Cain and Abel here in these two sacrifices, we see another beautiful picture of salvation. How what God accepts and what he doesn't. And Cain's wrath was so furious that he went and took his brother's life. And we see that that sin is an awful, awful thing from the get-go. And we see that Abel's sacrifice was accepted of God as he was given the firstlings of his flock. We also read further on in Genesis here, in the 22nd chapter of Abraham. We know this story all very well. I'm sure most of you do, if not all of you, how Abraham was told of God. He was he tempted Abraham and told him that he needs to go and sacrifice his son, Isaac. And we read of how faithful Abraham was in this, and he went exactly and did what was told of him of the Lord, and he took two young men with him and Isaac and took everything he needed for a burnt offering. And when he saw where he needed to go, he told those two young men to stay back, and he took Isaac and what he needed up to that mount. And when he took of that that wood, he built that altar, and he put that wood down. And Abraham's response to his son, who spoke up and asked him, Father, where is the sacrifice? And he said, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And they went together, and what a beautiful picture we see here. You see, Abraham was willing to go all the way. And in that, he as he laid his son there, he bound him, laid him on that altar. And it says, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to even slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand to the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You know what a ram is? It's a male sheep. It's a male lamb. We see the beautiful picture of salvation, how the seeing of Abraham's willingness to lay down his son's life. He was about to take it, and Lord intervened and said, I see that you're faithful. And he provided a lamb, a ram, to be take Isaac's place. We see a beautiful picture of salvation in that. We see a beautiful picture of the coming Savior. Abraham knew it. He was so confident in what the Lord has told him and his promises that he was going to slay his son. And he knew that God would provide, that he would provide a way. If you want to turn with me to the 12th book or chapter of Exodus, I want to give a little background. As we know, and if you are a scholar of the Old Testament, you see there's a lot of sacrifices. Many, many sacrifices in various ways and various animals. And here, we want to take a look at the first Passover, the 12th chapter of Exodus. We have Moses and Israel here, and we want to read just a little bit here of how the Lord provided a way out. In the first verse of the 12th chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with the legs and with the prudence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And I'm going to stop there. One of the most clearest and most beautiful pictures we have here of the Passover We read there in the fifth chapter of Revelation how there was much to do about the Lamb, about how worthy the Lamb that was slain is. And we see a beautiful picture here in this Lamb. The first Passover, we know that the angel of the Lord was going to pass through during the night and was going to smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But he gave his people instruction, very detailed instruction. He told them that the lamb should be without blemish and a male of the first year. There was requirements of this lamb. It couldn't have been just any decrepit lamb that they had in their stock. It had to be that of a male. It had to be without blemish. And you know, I was thinking today, I've been to fairs and 4-H fairs where they have animals and they raise them and care for them and they show them in these arenas and they make them try to be the best they can for their species of animal. They work them. They care for them. They need their hair. They trim them. And so much time and effort goes into making those animals beautiful and in the best shape that they can so that they might win. And here, and I can't help to see this as a resemblance that God wants the best. And in this, that's why he gave that direction of being without blemish. It needed to be fit. And so this lamb had to be a male the first year without blemish. And they couldn't just slay at any time. It was a specific time. And it had to be applied in certain places. It couldn't just be on the rooftop. The blood that was slain from this lamb couldn't just be applied to the sides of the house. But it was very specific. It had to be applied to the side posts and the upper post, the lintel. And if they did those things, then the Lord said that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, the Lord was sending that angel there to execute judgment. But what would pass over God's judgment was that lamb's blood that was applied all over that door. And see, we see this beautiful picture of this lamb who made a sacrifice on these places there in Egypt that kept them safe from that judgment. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. Now, we see it relieved from this an execution of judgment, and we see a great display of mercy. And we see that in our great Lamb of God, don't we? All of the different sacrifices throughout the Old Testament, you'll see there's very specific requirements. If this sin is about you, you do this. You sacrifice this. If you don't have this animal, or if you're too poor to have this, then use these. And it couldn't just be what you had. Most of the time, they had to be without blemish, without spot. All signifying and pointing out the great Lamb of God. Amen. The great Lamb of God in which was spoken of there in the fifth chapter of Revelation. The one who is worthy of all honor, of all glory, of all praise, the one in whom those thousands of thousands times ten thousands of people and the angels in heaven are singing praises to and bowing down to, is that Lamb that was slain for our sakes. We read in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, one of the most beautiful pictures of the coming Lord and Savior. In the 7th verse, that he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Comparing a lamb to the great Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself. We see that Jesus came, and we know from the book of Hebrews, which is chock full of showing what a lot of these Old Testament pictures and things were revealing. And we read there in the 9th chapter of Hebrews that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We know that those sins of the bullocks and goats could not ever take away the sin of man. We know that because they were just animals. They could not consent to being killed. They couldn't consent to much of anything. But in the worship of that time in the Old Testament, when we see the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go in year after year, and there was specific requirements for that high priest. They had to take the bullock and the different animals there. They had to take it within the veil. And he had to sprinkle upon the mercy seat. And that mercy seat is where God resided, wasn't it? He took it in as to appease the Lord and worship him that way. But it was for the sins of himself and his family first. And then he came back out. And then he got the blood again and took it in. And this time it was for, and sprinkled it 7 times on that mercy seat. But this time it was for the sins of the children of Israel. And then when he went out, there was that scapegoat that was there, which that high priest had to place his hands upon and cast all the sins of the children of Israel upon the head of that scapegoat. And it was released off by a fit man into the wilderness, never to be harmed again or seen again. All beautiful pictures of that lamb that was slain for us, isn't it? The world doesn't understand this. This is part of what I was thinking this morning, how much of an honor it is to be able to sit in the congregation of people who know this to be true. They don't just read it. People of God who have had their blood applied to their heart, that has met the requirements of God, who is able to see that this lamb that is spoken of in Revelation is all worthy of our honor and praise. We don't just know it because we read it. We know it because we felt his love. We know it because we felt his spirit that was shed abroad in our hearts. And that peace and joy that floods our souls is why we give him honor and glory, because of what he did on that cross for us. Aren't you glad that he was that lamb that was slain? Aren't you glad that he's worthy of it all? He was the only one that could have taken our place. Abraham is going to sacrifice Isaac, but God provided another way. Brother Dallas mentioned before, during preliminaries, that before earth was created, that Jesus knew what his role was going to be. Scriptures tells us that he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And I'm thankful for that. The songs we sung, he could have stopped it, couldn't he? When he came, the angels can't understand how God himself came down in the form of his creation to do what man couldn't do, to do what man messed up. But he did, and he did it willfully and joyfully. He did something that you and I couldn't do. I couldn't sacrifice my son. Wouldn't even come close to the penalty and the price which the Lamb of God paid for us. John knew who Jesus was, didn't he? He was there baptizing. And I wonder what was going through John's mind. I wonder what he was thinking. when he sees Jesus coming over that hill, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, that which taketh away the sin of the world." I imagine he felt a lot of times when we feel like we're in heavenly places and we could just take off. I can imagine it was something like that, but I imagine it was greater because he was there, and here comes his Savior, that Lamb of God, which was foretold all throughout Old Testament scriptures. Here he comes walking. Here he comes, just like he's supposed to. Imagine what he felt. This was the Lamb of God. Those pictures of which I saw, which was going on year after year, in that blood which was shed, that Passover in which we celebrate every year, of that blood that was shed on the walls, this is that Lamb that was slain, that all represented. How beautiful. What John thinking when he saw his Lord and Savior coming. When the Lord saved my soul, he put his Spirit within me. That Lamb that was slain, his blood was applied to my heart. Judgment's coming. Jesus was also called in that fifth chapter of Revelation, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Our Savior was the Lamb of God. Such a meek animal to be representative of our Lord and Savior. But he was also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is going to be coming back in judgment, isn't he? Just as we saw in the Passover, and that angel of the Lord came through and took out the firstborn of every household and every animal. And we see this, that Jesus is going to be coming back soon. The apostles preached it. Behold, their anxiousness, their forthright in their preaching was that Jesus is going to return any day now. And we should be just the same way because it could be today. He's going to come back in judgment, isn't he? And when the Lord comes back, there's only going to be one thing that can hold you back from his judgment. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And those who have had his blood applied to your heart, he's going to separate and be a sheep. But those who have not had that blood applied in this very specific way, as he had very specific instructions all throughout the Old Testament, will not pass. Judgment will come down on them, and we know those who those people are going to be is those who oftentimes that will often flat out reject the Lord, and those many who will say, "Lord, Lord, haven't I done many great things in thy name? Haven't I even cast out devils and demons in thy name? Many great works." But they didn't have the blood applied in the right way. And this is who we're trying to reach out there, isn't it? They need to know about this Lamb of God who is worthy of everything, who's worthy of our praise, our honor, and all the glory that we could give him. He is that worthy Lamb. I want to finish in 1 Peter, in the first chapter, two verses here in the 18th and 19th verse. "As for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This great Lamb of God was without blemish and without spot. The writer here was encouraging those and encouraging us that we weren't purchased. We weren't saved by the tradition of man. Amen. But by the very blood of that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Worthy is the Lamb. I'm thankful that I could say that He's my Lamb of God. He's my Savior. That blood has been applied to the doorpost and the lintel of my heart. We should be rejoicing forevermore in our days. It really blesses me when I see those, as Brother York, Steve York preached Thursday night, about praising God. That encourages me, and it should encourage all of us, because He's worthy of it. Not because we want to be seen of man. But if you look within yourself, and you see that your salvation did not come by anything that you could have done. We forget, I think, sometimes. We get really involved in the world too much, I think. But let us not forget about our Lord and Savior and what He truly did for us, that He is so worthy of everything that we could give Him, everything that we could do for Him, and we are so unworthy of what He's given us. May the Lord bless you, and I'm thankful for you all being here with me tonight.